When we begin to look at Scripture and try to understand God coming in the flesh, dwelling among us, we're in over our heads. But several years ago, I heard a preacher preach a sermon about Peter walking on the water, began to sink. And he said, you can take great comfort in this, that what's over our head is under his feet. He rules it. So while we don't understand all there is associated with the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can trust that he does. And he knows how to apply it in our lives. Look in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 again. And verse 14, we're going to concentrate on one verse. What would you say is the most sought after experience in the lives of people in this world? Would you say that is money, success, fame, power? Those would be some of those things that people seek after. And they are certainly that what many think is important. But what lies behind all of these desires of their seeking? Is it not for peace? To find peace in their very being? And they think by having money or success or power or fame, this is going to give them peace of their souls, their minds, their hearts. The people who have the most in this world are generally the people who commit suicide during difficult times. Go back and read your history. See if I'm not right. Down through the annals of history, peace has been a precious word. Still is. It has been enjoyed by few nations, and that for only a short period of time. I mentioned Warren Wiersbe in our Sunday school class this morning. Warren Wiersbe said that he did a study of the recorded wars that we have. There are over 3,000 wars in the history of man. None brought peace. They may be cessation of conflict, but is that peace? Not in a scriptural sense, it isn't. The Bible has much to say about wars and the awful histories of wars. And some here in this congregation can remember when there was a time you were experiencing real war and you prayed for peace. After every great war, there has been the mistaken notion that peace would prevail. But this was and is futile thinking, because the absence of conflict between men or nations is not necessarily peace. We have lived through a time what we have called the Cold War. Well, there's no physical conflict in that, but is there peace? No, there isn't. It may surprise some of you to know that with North Korea, we only have a cessation of war. You only have an armistice. The war is still officially a real thing. There's no peace there. There are five enemies to peace which are found in the natures of men. I want you to listen to me now. Greed, ambitions, personal selfish ambitions, envy, anger, and pride. All of these are enemies of true peace in the souls of men. When the Bible talks about peace, it is talking about the kind of peace that must take place in here. And if you forget everything I say to you this morning on this subject of peace this morning, remember this. There can never, 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 never be peace between men unless there's peace inside. Never. You may not want to fight with a person. That doesn't mean you're at peace with that person. So what we want to do this morning is we want to sort of look at this passage and look what it says about peace, this verse of Scripture. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. I want you to underline that statement. In some of your translations, it may have in the old King James Version, and peace toward men, goodwill toward men. I don't want to be critical, but the King James Version missed it here, because it really says in essence that it is among men with whom God is pleased. That's goodwill. Three thoughts expressed here in this verse. Peace is promised. Peace is promised on earth, and peace is promised to those who please God. These are the three things he says in that one verse of Scripture. And we will see that as we look at this, there's only one place where that peace can be obtained, and that's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No place else. So let's look at this first one. Peace is promised. The war inside of us is different than that which exists between men. In this war inside of us, between us and God, there can be eternal peace found and sought after and experienced in our lives. That's not true on a level of human relationships. This kind of peace is the kind of peace that the world cannot take away. It needs no carnal weaponry, guns, bombs, or anything else to sustain it. It is sustained by the love and the grace and mercy of Almighty God indwelling us through His Holy Spirit. It is freely offered by the King and the Prince of Peace. And it is within the reach of every desiring person. If you want this kind of peace, you can have it. God doesn't put up a barrier there and say, you can't come. He offers it freely to all who will come and receive it and bow to it and experience it in their lives. For one to speak of this kind of peace, you are automatically admitting that there's been a conflict going on inside you. And that conflict, if you're outside of Christ, has been there since the fall of Adam. Adam was born in this world with peace with God. They could walk together. They could talk together. But something happened. Adam sinned against God. He rebelled against God. He declared war against God. In other words, he said in essence in his rebellion against God, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do any longer. And he fell. And as a result of that, there's a great warfare going on in every human heart that's not in Christ. Every human heart, none exempt. And that human heart is saying, in essence, you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't care if you are God. You're taking the same attitude as Pharaoh takes. Who is God that I should obey him? That's warfare. Where there's warfare, there's conflict. Where there's conflict, there's the absence of peace. And that's inside of every person outside the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this peace, we're talking about the kind of peace that stops rebellion. It satisfies greed. It conquers self-serving ambitions. It removes envy. It quells anger. It suspends pride. This is what this peace does once it's experienced in the hearts of men. These are all kinds of unsettled issues in the lives of people. And the only way peace with God can be established is through justifying faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we say we come here to worship and to lift up and to remember him in his birth coming into this world. Paul said, therefore, having been justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something future. For the believer who's united to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come in fellowship with Him, and their sins have been brought under the blood of Christ and been forgiven, that person has been justified. There's peace in that heart. Now, there may be turmoils in that life, but they still have peace with God. That can never be removed. That can never be taken away. Ask you the question, do you have this peace? I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you're a member of the church. I'm asking you, are you at peace with God? Is there a conflict between you and the Lord? Are you surrendered to Him? Are you submitted to Him? Are you submitted to His purpose? Are you submitted to the events in your life as His sovereign will and purpose in your life? If you're not, then you're not at peace. There's a war going on between you and God's will constantly, right? And when that comes, we have to learn how to say, Lord, I've rebelled. Forgive me. I want to surrender. I want to come under Your authority. Peace is promised. Now watch this. Secondly, peace is promised on earth. And this promised peace indicates that this kind of peace had never graced the earth before. Now think about what I'm saying to you. Yes, there were redeemed people in the Old Testament, but they did not experience this kind of peace. Why? Because they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking forward to the one who came and would satisfy all of the demands of the law for them, who would personify the full manifestation of those sacrifices in the Old Testament in reality, not in form or in symbolism, but in reality. And they never fully had peace. I believe that's the reason Peter records for us that after Jesus died, he went and preached to those people. Peace has come. It's been accomplished. You can now rest. But for us, on this side of the cross, we can have peace now and forever. And it seems to me what he says, your peace on earth, it wasn't there before, in this form at least. Some have tried to make this promise an eschatological promise. Yes, there is going to be a time when there's going to be absolute peace on earth. But I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think he's talking about in the hearts of men right now. What Paul's talking about when he says we are justified, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that it is clear that the peace promised here is not a universal peace, but it is lodged in the hearts of His people. Now the third thing. Peace is promised to those with whom God is pleased. That's what the text says. On earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. Without faith, it's what? What's the scripture say? Impossible to please God. Paul says, when we have faith in Christ, justified, we have peace with God. Now, he's talking about a special people here. It's not a universal peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, the King James Version says. The NIV says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. The ESV says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Christian Standard Bible, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to people He favors. You see, they all are saying the same thing. This is a special application of this peace on certain people. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be in that crowd, don't you? I want to be on those that are pleasing to Him. I want to be those who have come to Him in submission and surrender and recognize who He is, that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's the one who, before whom someday I'm going to have to stand before and be judged. And I better have only one plea. That's the blood of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He's talking about. Peace on earth and the best of blessings on those who please Him. That's what He's really saying to us. So it's obvious that this promise of peace is limited to those who have been regenerated, justified, and are being sanctified. This promise is not to every individual. You cannot experience this peace until and unless you are united savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in other words, this is a promise to the redeemed or the elect of God. You say, well, now, Brother Ed, I just don't like that. Well, you'll have to take your argument up with Him. He's the author of this book. I'm not. I'm just the messenger of it. That's all I am. If you were, your doorbell rang and a messenger came and handed you a message and you read the message and you didn't like it, would you kick the messenger off the porch? He didn't create the message. He's just the delivery boy. That's all I am. I'm just telling you what the text says. But you know what? If you're in that group, that's good news. If you've come to Christ savingly, that's good news. If you recognize that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you've surrendered to Him, and you love Him, and you want to worship Him, and you lift Him up, and you witness for Him, and all, that's good news to you. The only person that isn't good news is the person who's not submitted to Him and not come under His authority. Someone may be thinking, well, that's not what I've always believed. But does it really make any difference what you've always believed? Isn't that which is important what this book says? Some of you have heard me tell this before. Ron Dunn, who was a great preacher, whom I knew personally, he said one time the reason so many Baptists believe the Bible is they don't know what it says. Think about that a while. So peace is promised in this passage. Peace is promised on earth. And peace is promised to God's people. And here's the fourth thing I want you to hear. Peace is promised through only one source. And Christ is that source. And I would say this. We'd do no harm to the text here if we were to personify this word peace. Because these promises are in Christ, for Christ, and by Christ. Listen to what the Scriptures really say. Jesus is our peace. He Himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:14 says. So when you talk about this peace, who are you talking about? You're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is our peace. That's what Paul said. He Himself is our peace. You say, I want that peace. I want to have it. I'm hungry for that kind of peace. Get to Him. He's that peace. When He indwells you, you possess that peace. And He indwells you through His Spirit. And Paul said, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. He is our peace. He establishes peace. Ephesians 2:15 says, thus establishing peace. Christ is our peace and He establishes peace. And then Paul says in the next verse, Jesus preaches peace. And He came and preached peace. He is our peace. He establishes peace and He preaches peace. Where do you think peace is in? This kind of peace. It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in what I do. It's what He did and does and is doing and promises to do. When you go through the toils and turmoils of life, how can you have peace if you're not assured that beyond this life there's something far greater that takes you through it? See the difference? People who have this peace going through difficulties and people who don't have this peace. You cannot handle the frustrations and difficulties of life apart from possessing this peace. You just can't handle it. I'm telling you, you can't handle it. But when He indwells you, who is peace? You can handle anything He chooses to send your way. Because He's your strength. He's your hope. He's your assurance. He's your peace. He's all and in all, He says. He makes peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He offers peace to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Scripture, this peace is offered. All through the Scriptures, the implication is, come and receive it. Come and experience it. Come and have it for yourself. Come and possess it in your own lives. He promises peace in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again, what Paul said. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses, goes beyond all our understanding or our comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of peace I want, don't you? That which guards me in the difficult times. That which guards my mind to keep it going in the wrong direction. That which settles me in on Christ. Day after day after day. His peace increases. Listen to this. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. No end to the increase. When I'm in glory and I'm sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, or working, doing whatever He wants me to do, that peace is going to continue to increase in me. I don't understand that. I told you we were over our head when we started talking about this. But I sure am looking forward to it. Aren't you? To where there's going to be no interruptions to that peace. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. You know the sad part of that is? If you don't know Him, then the opposite grows in your life. It gets worse and worse and worse. One of my mentors used to try to explain hell. He says nobody can explain it because they haven't been there to tell us about it. But he used this illustration. He says, take a drug addict in severe state. And every day his desire for drugs grows. But there's no hope of any relief or fix. The next day it's worse. The next day it's worse. The next day it's worse. And that for eternity. I don't want any part of that. Do you? But you know what? There's an alternative. And that's to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and experience His peace. That does the opposite. It grows and grows and grows. Think of this promise, this peace with all the grace and the glory. It'll never end, and we'll keep on getting better and better and better. The old hymn writer had it right. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in His bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed up on Jehovah, hearts are full and blessed, fully blessed. Finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. What a tremendous thought this is. He, God, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, came into this world to bring peace to the hearts of people. This is what we ought to be concentrating on during this time of year, don't you think? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. I'll close with this. St. Francis of Assisi was a Roman Catholic, but a different kind than we have today, by the way. And he said this, Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, let me show pardon. Where there is doubt, let me show faith. Where there is despair, let me show hope. Where there is darkness, let me show light. And where there is sadness, let me show joy. That's what Jesus does, isn't it? In those things, exactly what He does in our lives. Then if that's true, isn't that what we should be doing too, if we belong to Him? We should be manifesting His character, His attitude, His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion. That's how we glorify Him. That's how we lift Him up. That's how we exalt Him. That's what we should think about. Father, help us to have the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Help us to manifest what we profess to be in our lives, that is, Your peace, and manifest it to those around us, that You may be glorified. And we'll rejoice in how You work and what You work in the lives of people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We give you an opportunity at the end of the service to express whatever the Lord leads you to do. If He's opened your heart and let you see the truths of what we talk about here and want to be a part of this fellowship, this is what this is about. It's giving you that opportunity to let us rejoice with you.
Stand with me.
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. My